The brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott sitting in for Bob Enyart. Joe Scott with Pro-Life Colorado. We are having a few more difficulties today with some of the threats that have been surrounding Bob of late. So he's not here. He's downtown taking care of that. And I'm filling in for him. And today we have a really special guest I'm honored to have on our show today. A woman who has been the main force behind the website abortionbreastcancer.com. She's been fighting for women's rights and to tell women the truth, essentially, since 1999, and she's done a spectacular job. I know that Dr. Joel Brind, he's the president of Abortion Prevention Institute, and he says that her website is the clearinghouse for the up-to-date medical and scientific information on breast cancer, and he's right. I go there all the time when I need information. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet Karen Malik. She's on now. Hi, Karen.
Well, hi there.
How are you today?
I'm just fine, thanks, and I'm delighted to be on your program. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's just an honor to have you, Karen. You started, or pretty much were the founder of abortionbreastcancer.com, weren't you?
Yes, I'm one of the founders of the Coalition on Abortion Breast Cancer.
And you're also president as of today, right?
Yes, I am president and one of the founders as well. And we are actually, I am pleased to announce that we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary next year.
Wow.
The month of May. So, I mean, on the one hand, it's kind of sad that we're still here because it's taken this long for the cancer organizations to come around to start telling women the truth. They're starting to tell women the truth about the birth control pill and also hormone replacement therapy, but we had that evidence back in the 1980s, and mm-hmm. women weren't being told about those breast cancer risks. And it only slipped out to the media in 2002, and of course it was national media that made this news when they reported that use of combined hormone replacement therapy increases breast cancer risk. And then we saw all kinds of women go off the hormone replacement therapy, that kind of hormone replacement therapy, and within 1 year's time, the cancer rates declined by 14,000 cases.
That's spectacular. It's spectacular.
It is, absolutely. And it's just like tobacco, where when people learn that there's a cancer risk, then many people choose not to expose themselves to that risk, and of course, sales go down. And that's a big motivation for keeping the evidence from the public.
Yeah, to suppress the evidence because they don't want their profit margin to diminish. Also, the abortion link to breast cancer, that's not getting out, is it?
No, it's not. And we have had sufficient evidence, conclusive evidence of an abortion breast cancer link since the mid-1980s, just as we had that evidence for the birth control pill and the combined form, estrogen and progestin, and also combined hormone replacement therapy. But we've had studies have been conducted since 1957, and the overwhelming majority of the epidemiological studies, the studies that show there's a correlation, a statistical relationship between having an abortion and having breast cancer later on in life. The overwhelming majority of those studies are pointing to an increase in risk. About 80% of them are pointing to a risk increase for women who have abortions. We also have biological evidence that supports it, and we have animal research as well.
It's amazing that this won't come out in the general media, because I know that you're constantly putting press releases out on it, and I get those press releases, so I know they're there. But the media is not picking up on it. Why do you think that is?
Well, there is a bias in the print press and also in the national television news networks. And what we found is that they are reporting a very one-sided viewpoint on this research. They are reporting research that shows no link between abortion and breast cancer, but when the much larger body of research is reported, when there are studies coming out showing that abortion does raise breast cancer risk, they're totally silent about it. When one of the studies that they like, the studies that show no increase in risk, when one of those studies is published, they report it in the newspapers, and then when that particular study is later shown to be seriously flawed in the medical journals, then they're completely silent about that. They don't let their readers know that what they had previously reported was seriously flawed.
So they have an agenda that they're willing to let women die for, all the time touting that they're women's advocates.
That's the way that it seems to be working out. And let me just give you an example. Last year, there was a study that came out in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons in October of 2007, and October, of course, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This is a study that was done by Patrick Carroll. He's an insurance actuary and a statistician, and he was able to show that in 8 European countries, the best predictor of breast cancer, future breast cancer rates, for those countries was induced abortion. And he was able, using his mathematical model, he was, and plugging in the past abortion rates, he was able to show that he could successfully predict future breast cancer rates for England and Wales for the years 2002 and 2003 with nearly 100% accuracy. That's astounding.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that should have been on the front page of every newspaper and the top
yes.
story on every news station in the country.
And that's absolutely right.
It wasn't.
It was not, except the only paper, the only mainstream newspaper that printed a story about it was the Chicago Tribune, and that's because Dennis Byrne wrote the article. That's thanks to Dennis mm-hmm. Byrne that it got in there. The L.A. Times, on the other hand, they looked at, or rather they reported on some older studies that were reporting no increase in risk, and they were completely silent about Patrick Carroll's research showing that he could accurately predict future breast cancer rates just by using induced abortion. And they were also completely silent about research published in 2005, which was actually a review of 10 studies that the abortion industry likes to use to make the argument that abortion does not increase breast cancer risk. And in that particular review last year, Dr. Joel Brind of the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute was able to show that these 10 studies that the abortion industry uses are seriously, seriously flawed, and that they cannot be used to invalidate the much larger body of research showing that abortion does increase breast cancer risk. And the LA Times was completely silent about that.
Oh, I wonder why. Abortion is just a sacred cow that's giving so much money to so many people, including politicians. Planned Parenthood funds them. They fund Planned Parenthood. It's just
yes.
despicable.
It is despicable. That's for certain. I would have to agree with you.
One of the reasons we're having you on today is because it is Breast Cancer Prevention Month this month, October. In fact, this weekend in Colorado, we're going to have the Race for the Cure, where thousands, and I've seen upwards of 60,000 people at these races, will be racing to give money to the Komen Foundation. And before we start to talk about that, we have Leslie Hanks, the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, online with us now, too. I know you two know one another. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Never had the pleasure to meet Karen in person, but I sure know of her and her marvelous work.
Yeah. We're just about to talk about the Komen Foundation and the Race for the Cure here in October, this weekend. Leslie has been participating in a protest that we do at Race for the Cure every year for years, myself and lots of others. In Colorado, Karen Malik, we hold signs that says abortion, most preventable cause of breast cancer, abortion causes breast cancer, things like that. We have one of your pamphlets we hand out to the ladies that are running by, Why Aren't Women Being Told, that one from that we get from you off of your website. And we, because of this protest every year, one of the directors of Komen Foundation in Colorado contacted us and wanted to have a meeting with us to find some kind of common ground so we would quit bugging their people on the route. I think we've told you about that, Karen.
Yes, I've heard about that, and I applaud you for doing this because this truly is yeoman's work, and I applaud your courage for going out there and letting people know what the truth is about these breast cancer organizations.
You know, it's not a fun protest to do, not that any protests are, but this one is a little bit dangerous. The women tend to get very angry, but, you know, it's a sacred cow, and abortion is so deeply rooted into our culture that it's going to hurt while we uproot it, you know, a little bit. One of the things that happened at the meeting was that the director, her name is Dana Brandoff, answered a question. And Leslie, when we asked her about preventing breast cancer, what was her answer?
Well, it was really, really shocking. Joe, you were in the meeting, and I think you and Eve Silver and I were equally flabbergasted when we heard the response from Dana was that they're really not so much interested about the preventative, they're interested in the cure. And, of course, that gives them the opportunity to throw around a lot of money, and it does wind itself back into the pockets of Planned Parenthood, evil Planned Parenthood. And so that's what, you know, we are trying to get the message for people to, if they want to work to make a difference for breast cancer awareness, we are all in favor of that, but let's not be giving money to an organization that's part of the cause of the epidemic.
And I think it's important also to mention a couple of things about that. First of all, if Komen were interested in preventing breast cancer, then we would not need quite so much research to be done. Research is valuable, and it's important, and it's certainly necessary. However, we would not need to spend quite so much money on research if more women were being told the truth about how to prevent breast cancer. And you'll find that none of these cancer fundraising groups are telling women what is in standard medical texts and has been in standard medical texts now for decades. And these standard medical texts all admit that childbearing helps protect women from breast cancer. And let's use a little bit of logic here. First of all, if childbearing protects women from breast cancer, and you've got two women, both of them are pregnant, young women who've never had children before, one of them gets an abortion, the other one has a full-term birth, who has the higher breast cancer risk?
Obviously, the one that had the abortion.
Obviously. That's the first of three ways that abortion raises breast cancer risk. And none of these cancer groups are telling women, have more babies to prevent breast cancer. None of these cancer groups are telling women, if you have an abortion, you will have a greater breast cancer risk than the woman who chooses to have a full-term birth. Not one of them is doing that to prevent breast cancer. The other point I'd like to make is that these groups, these cancer organizations, are scaring women when they say that they need to find a cure for breast cancer. About 80% of the women who are cancer patients, who are breast cancer patients, are already being cured of breast cancer. The overwhelming majority of women are already being cured through chemotherapy, through radiation, through mastectomy. They're already curing women. And in fact, if they find it early, if they find in situ breast cancer, for instance, in a woman, and they catch it very, very early before it really has had a chance to spread into surrounding tissue, and if they do a double mastectomy and remove both of the breasts, and then she goes on for the other treatment, the chemotherapy and radiation, she has 100% cure rate. If she just does the local surgery, removing the tumor, and then goes on for the chemotherapy and the radiation, then she has a 97% cure rate.
Wow. Karen, I have a theory. Women who have abortions, their self-esteem tends to plummet. Their life doesn't get better. They tend to turn to drugs, alcohol, things like that to cover up the depression that they're not even linking to the abortion. And so down the line, when they're sick or breast cancer would be developing, they're not the kind of women that would be at the doctors and taking as good a care of themselves as other women who are more self-assured and not so beaten up by life.
That's a good point.
I think that is a good point. And I think also it's important for women to realize that women who've had abortions or who are otherwise at risk for breast cancer, if they're just made aware of the fact that they are at risk for the disease, there are things that they can do right now to help bring down their breast cancer risk. There are strategies that they can adopt to try to bring down some of that risk that they incurred because of the abortion or use of hormonal contraceptives or whatever their particular situation might be. And if they go to our website at abortionbreastcancer.com and just click on the icon that says, "What if I've had an abortion?" that will lead them to discover something, some strategies that they can adopt.
That's fabulous that you have that resource there for them. It's at abortionbreastcancer.com if you're looking for that link. It's fabulous that you have the information there. It's not so great that people don't know that you're out there. You should be published in every newspaper. You should be on every little pink ribbon. It should have your website so women can see the truth about abortion, breast cancer link, the birth control pill and breast cancer link. It's just sad that that's not what's going on. Now, Komen is the sponsor for the Race for the Cure here in Denver. And Komen has given Planned Parenthood a substantial amount of money in this state alone, right around $20,000. But nationwide, I think it's a lot higher than that.
Yes, actually, Stop Planned Parenthood reported that Komen had given in excess of $700,000.
I just read that. Yeah, that's right. Well, we sure do every bit of advertising for your organization that we can whenever we have our truth truck out, Karen. We've got your website right next to ours, so people are seeing it, and I hope you're growing by leaps and bounds. I think you probably are in the amount of hits you're getting on your website.
We're getting all kinds of hits, and we're just really grateful for all of your help there.
Well, you know, we had tracked down a billboard location here right along the march route for the Race for the Cure this coming Sunday, and I could not talk the owner of the billboard into taking the banner or the sign that we wanted to put up. They just said it was too controversial. So once again, we'll be taking our truth truck to the effort, and we do have a new banner, and I think it's going to hopefully educate some women. So we'll be pointing them in your direction again, and I hope you'll wind up getting all kinds of further traffic and helping open the eyes of some people that desperately need the truth so maybe they can help their own daughters to do the right thing.
Yeah, the banner that will be on the truth truck, and it's huge. I think it's 18 feet long. Is that how big it is, Leslie? It's pretty big.
It's very good size.
And it says, what? An abortion increases my risk for breast cancer? And it's on the pink that is so well known during this month, and there's a young woman's picture there. Why aren't women being told? Coleman Dana Brandoff answered, we tend to focus on the cure. We're focusing our energies on that rather than the preventative, which is, when I heard that in the meeting, I was floored. I'm like, why? Why wouldn't you at least tell people that if you get an abortion, you could very likely get breast cancer, or your risk goes up exponentially? Why? That doesn't even cost anything. It's one more line on one of their pieces of literature, and they won't.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, I think also women seem to be unaware that many of these cancer groups have leaders who previously worked for Planned Parenthood or the National Abortion Rights Action League, which today calls itself NARAL Pro-Choice America, or even the American Civil Liberties Union, which provides the litigation in the courts for the abortion industry.
Unbelievable. And you said there's not one organization that will tell the truth about abortion that raises money for cancer?
The only organizations that we're aware of that are telling women the truth about this link between abortion and breast cancer include the Polycarp Research Institute, which is based in Pennsylvania, and is on the web at polycarp.org, and also the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, which is based in New York, and they're on the web at BCP, for Breast Cancer Prevention, bcpinstitute.org, and then, of course, our organization.
Wow.
And the one that you just mentioned, isn't Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, the New Jersey breast cancer surgeon, isn't she involved in one of those other organizations?
She is with the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute in New York. That's correct.
Yeah, she works with Dr. Joel Brint, who's a hero of mine, and so is she. She's a really neat lady.
We actually, Joe and I met her in Washington, D.C. a few years back.
Oh.
Yeah.
We were...
It was real neat because I had told somebody that I just really love this woman and her work, and I was sitting in a hotel room and my friend walked in with her, so I got to sit and talk with her for about 20 minutes, and she's just a really dynamic, neat lady, real neat lady, brilliant.
Yeah, she is. She is with the Robert Wood Johnson Medical Center in New Jersey, and she's clinical associate professor of surgery there.
Wow.
At Robert Wood Johnson Medical Center.
She's brilliant.
And then one of the things that was so powerful about the meeting that we had, of course, was with the Coleman folks in Denver, Karen, was that we had Eve Silver with us. And I know you're very aware of Eve and how she actually wound up leaving Coleman. She's a Latina woman. And
yes.
When she started realizing how racist Planned Parenthood really was, and it wasn't known widely in the era when she actually resigned, like it is today, but she just on principle said, I can no longer be with this group when I see that they're giving to an organization, Planned Parenthood, and they are targeting minority women. So she is just
right.
A hero of mine too, mm-hmm. And I applaud her for raising the awareness level of how racist Planned Parenthood really is.
Well, Eve is a woman who was working for Susan G. Komen as a Latina advisor, and she was a popular speaker for Komen. And it amazes me that she had no clue about the abortion breast cancer link. She never had heard of it before she saw one of the press releases that our organization sent out. And she also was completely unaware of the relationship between Coleman and Planned Parenthood. And because of those facts, she decided to resign from Coleman. And she did so in a very noisy way. She was very upset because she's a two-time breast cancer survivor. She's had the disease twice. She lost both of her breasts to the disease. She had two abortions during the most cancer-vulnerable time in her life, which takes place before the birth of a first child. And that's because young teenage women and college-age women, women who've never had a full-term pregnancy, almost all of their breast lobules are immature, cancer-susceptible lobules, where up to 95% of all breast cancers are known to arise. We call these lobules type 1 and 2. And then when a woman gets pregnant, then she's overexposed to a hormone called estrogen, and this estrogen is what makes the breast grow in puberty, and it makes the breast grow during a normal pregnancy. And the estrogen makes those breasts grow by making her cancer-susceptible lobules and any normal lobules she might have multiply. So during that first trimester, she's getting more cancer-susceptible lobules than she had before she became pregnant. She's getting more places in her breasts for cancers to start. But now, by the end of a full-term pregnancy, during the last months of a full-term pregnancy, there's another process that kicks in, and it starts to protect women from that estrogen overexposure. And it starts shaping those lobules into milk, fully cancer-resistant type 4 lobules that contain colostrum. That's what women have before, as they're getting ready to lactate. And those are fully cancer-resistant. So 85% of the lobules are fully cancer-resistant by the end of a full-term pregnancy. The woman who has the abortion, or if she has a premature birth before 32 weeks of pregnancy, or even a second trimester miscarriage, she has gone through that multiplication process where she has developed more places for cancers to start in her breast. Those women have an increase in breast cancer risk.
I know because of family members who've had miscarriages in the second trimester, they're told that they're more susceptible to cancer because they've miscarried.
They are told that.
But
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard anybody say that to me before.
Yeah.
But that's very interesting that they're privately admitting that a second trimester miscarriage increases breast cancer risk. Now, see, the first trimester miscarriage, most of those are abnormal pregnancies. We know that a lot of times women will come and say, gee, I really didn't feel pregnant. My breasts weren't sore, they weren't growing, they weren't tender, I didn't feel nauseous. Well, that's because she didn't have sufficient hormonal level to maintain that pregnancy, so she miscarried in the first trimester. And she wasn't overexposed to estrogen, so there's no increase in cancer risk.
Yeah, that's true. Karen, thank you so much for being on. Go, please
thank
go
you.
To abortionbreastcancer.com.